Hello and welcome to Navigating Nursing. My name is Laura Whitehead and I'm your host. I'm a qualified adult nurse, a critical care nurse, lecturer, senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and a doctoral student. And welcome to Navigating Nursing. And I am joined today by Sharon Fox. We're really excited today to welcome a new series where I'm interviewing defence nurses all about their careers. And Sharon is one of my first guests for this series. So thank you so much, Sharon, for joining me today.
Thanks, Laura. I'm really pleased to be here, but a bit nervous about being one of the first ones.
Oh, that's okay. We've got loads lined up, so you'll be in good company. So just to introduce you in a little bit about your role, so you're a regional nursing advisor for Defence Primary Healthcare North Region, and we're going to talk about your career and kind of how you got into the position of where you are now. And this is a question I ask all of my guests right at the beginning. Why did you decide to train as a nurse?
Oh gosh, I think I'd always kind of had that kind of fascination with hospitals and things. And I remember going to visit my mum in hospital when I was about 5 years old or something, and just being fascinated by the hustle and the bustle and everything going on around me, and thinking, even at that age, thinking I really want to be kind of part of this. But I took a bit of a strange career path. I actually went and worked with horses for a while when I first left college, and so I worked with horses for a couple of years before going into nursing. And as strange as it may sound, there were actually some similarities. And I think it's all in the sort of caring for another creature.
Communication.
That's not yourself. Yeah.
Reading the room.
So yeah. But I think I'd always kind of had that kind of interest in the sort of medical nursing side, just from an early age, really.
I think that's a really good example of, like, you wouldn't necessarily make a link, would you, caring for horses and nursing?
Yeah.
But I think, and we always discount, I think, previous experience and think all those skills have got nothing to do with it because I've never been in a hospital or I haven't, you know, worked in healthcare. But I used to be a receptionist at a car garage during my A-levels, and I found, it sounds really silly, but, like, you know, taking phone calls and dealing with angry people and faxes,
yeah,
and like all of that kind of admin-y stuff. Then when I like started my training, I was like, oh, actually, like, I was there on the switchboard, like doing all that. And everyone was like, how do you know how to do that? And it was like, oh, should I not? Should I not put that call through? I think we kind of forget there's so many skills that are needed in nursing and healthcare that we need to remember how useful they are.
Definitely, yeah.
So you did your training and you were part of that first Project 2000 at Stoke Mandeville, part of Oxford Brookes University. And did you know when you were training what speciality you wanted to go into?
No idea, really, no. I just kind of qualified and went fairly quickly into a male surgical ward. So that was my first kind of staff nurse experience. And I think it has kind of shaped the rest of my career, because I've always stayed very much kind of interested in sort of men's health, predominantly, I would say, which obviously is very useful in the career that I'm in at the moment, because we do have more male patients than females, although females are definitely on the increase, and obviously women's health is just as important. But that's the kind of path that I've followed, I guess, right from those early days.
And you went from male surgical into intensive care. How did you find that moving into that complex care level 2, level 3 care environment?
Yes. So I kind of realised when I was working on male surgical that I quite enjoyed looking after the more complex patients, and I enjoyed being a little bit busier and having lots of things to manage and that kind of thing. And, you know, I thought if a patient had 2 IV infusions, this was, you know,
Mega.
I was really,
it was
really
a great
working
shift.
Here. And then I kind of quite naively at the time just applied for a job on one of the cardiothoracic intensive care units in London. Had no idea about cardiothoracics or ITU, really, but I thought I was kind of the real deal because I'd come
You were
from
ready.
male surgical. And it was a proper sort of baptism of fire. Back in those days, you were very much sort of thrown in at the deep end. And obviously mentorship and induction and all those kind of things have improved massively since then. But back then, you kind of pretty much got thrown straight into it. Luckily, I loved it and really kind of enjoyed the same thing that had attracted me to it in the first place. I enjoyed sort of being able to give all that truly holistic patient care, both to patient family, but also enjoyed the sort of complexity and managing all the systems and having lots of kind of things to be worrying about, really.
And you now working in a completely different role. So how did you
Yeah.
end up working in the military, and how did you end up in that kind of primary care environment?
So I really completely fell into military primary care. I had never seen myself leaving ITU, loved it, I was passionate about it, and then married a soldier who then came home from work one day and said, "By the way, we're posted to Germany." So I was like,
Surprise.
okay. And I knew that my German would never be good enough to work in a German hospital. I did sort of contemplate the idea very briefly. But then really got out to Germany, and I applied for a job in one of the military medical centres and got the job. I was only ever going to stay 6 months. I was going back to intensive care, and he'd ruined my life and all the rest of it. And then ended up still working in military primary care kind of 19 years later.
So now he's a little bit smug.
Yeah.
But that was the right decision.
So yeah, and now I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else. Every so often I kind of have a bit of a kind of yearn to go back to an intensive care environment, and particularly through COVID, I think, when I knew that some of the colleagues and people that I was still in touch with were kind of right there on the front line. But yeah, I wouldn't change my career pathway now.
And you've done further study and that obviously supports the role that you're in. So you're an independent prescriber, and you've done the professional nurse advocate course. How did you find, going and studying at that level, and progressing your development from that academic point of view?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, as it is for everybody, really taking on additional study, I guess in conjunction with a full-time job and also managing life and families and all the other things. But I genuinely have really enjoyed all of the Level 7 training that I've done. It's I think doing the B300 prescribing was probably one of the most useful courses in terms of enabling me to develop clinically. And certainly the clinical part of my role that I'm in now, it helped massively both with my own development, but also with sort of patient care and patient pathway and that kind of thing. But yeah, I think in terms of managing study and working full time, quite lucky that within defence primary healthcare we are very fortunate that we do get quite a lot of study time and study
That's good.
opportunities. So that's helped massively. I do end up doing quite a lot of it in my own time.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not particularly good at being organised. So I'm a bit of a last minute assignment submitter. But yeah, and every time I think that's it, I'm never doing any more studying because this is just too
I'm done.
hard. And then, yeah, and then you end up 6 months later signing up for something else.
Yeah, and you go, oh, I'd like that sounds like a good module. And it's like, no.
Exactly.
And have you got any particular advice for anyone that wants to join the military or that wants to work in your area of practice?
So first piece of advice really would be for any civilian nurses who are interested in working sort of within defence medical facilities, is that the opportunities are there, and I don't think it's particularly well known that you can work alongside the military and treat military patients without actually being in the military yourself. So yeah, firstly, we are here and we do sort of welcome nurses who don't necessarily have any military experience as well. And I think I would say that it's a little bit of a scary jump, particularly if you don't have that military background, because it really is kind of talking a different language and all that
Yeah, a
kind of
whole
thing.
different
I mean,
world.
yeah, I mean, if you think the NHS has a lot, add that onto military as well, and it's yeah, it really is a different language. So, but I think make the leap, be prepared that for at least 6 months, you'll probably think on a daily basis, I don't know if this is for me. I don't really know what anybody's talking about, but stick with it because it's given me such a kind of rewarding career with so many opportunities, and I really wouldn't change it now.
And have you got any advice for any student nurses that are studying at the moment?
So I think mainly I would just say, please stick with it because we need you. We need nurses, to be sort of coming through the levels. I think I've always tried to, however bad a day you've had or however things are going, try and sort of remember what brought you into nursing in the first place and kind of hold on to that. And I would say just be open to learning the whole way. Take every opportunity that comes your way. Listen to everybody because you will learn something from everybody along your journey. And just don't be afraid, don't ever be afraid to say, I don't know. I think that would be my main kind of things. Keep yourself grounded, basically.
And would you be able to tell us a little bit about the role that you do now?
As you said at the beginning, I'm the regional nurse advisor for Defence Primary Healthcare North Region. So that geographically covers, if you drew a line from the Humber across the UK and then up to the Scottish borders, so kind of large
Yeah,
geographical
massive
area.
area.
So I spend quite a lot of time on the road, and really anywhere that there's a military footprint, there will be a military medical centre of some description attached to that. So we've got kind of RAF bases, we've got Royal Navy submarine base, lots of army. I live in Catterick, garrison area, so big army footprint there. And with those military medical centres comes nurses, doctors, the whole kind of thing that you'd expect in NHS primary care. So I'm the nursing lead really for all of the nurses that are employed within those practices across North Region. So a kind of 80% of my role is kind of strategic nurse leadership and management, that kind of thing. And I maintain 20% clinical. So I mainly do some kind of advanced practice type clinics or help. Sometimes we'll have big vaccination surges and things like that, depending what's going on in the world. So I'll sort of go and help with that where I'm needed as well.
So really good diverse mixture between clinical and then leadership, and
Yeah,
managerial as well.
definitely. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
it's quite rare, I think, to get that balance like between the two,
I think
in all
it is.
areas.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that I love it so much. I really I wouldn't want to lose that clinical element, I think. And I do think as well that it's the patients that keep you grounded and keep you interested and keep you going, isn't it? So I'd be really sad if I lost that patient contact.
And where do you see your career going? What are your aims for the future?
Well, we've got some fairly big kind of projects coming along within Defence Primary Healthcare. So there's a couple of those that I'd really like to sort of see through and see them happen in my sort of time in this position. And I still learn every day. We're still learning clinical stuff every day. I still learn stuff about defence every day or just nursing in general. Currently doing a sort of defence medical leadership program, which is at level 7, aimed at sort of leaders within defence medical services, but across the board, from real sort of diverse range of staff. So I'd probably like to take the sort of leadership journey a little bit further as well. But at the moment, I really love my job, and it would have to be a really special job to kind of make me want to do anything else, basically.
No, it sounds like you've got a really good balance. And I think you were talking about your leadership course that you're doing. And I think learning from other people, it must be so fascinating to see different types of leaders within different roles, within different scopes, and to learn from them as well as from whoever's delivering the content
Yeah,
as
and
well.
it just shows, that leaders come at all levels, and from all backgrounds and all kind of all professions.
I do. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Sharon. You've given some really good advice for everyone listening, and it's been lovely to meet you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.